We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 1,470 days into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Emerson alongside the fan favorite. You know him, you love him. He's back for another week, somewhere between iconic and psychotic, Marty Foster. Marty, how are you?
I want to say good, but I'm not. I'm not good.
Why?
I fucking hate technical authors. People who create overly complicated templates, and then when you try to update a document, you've got all this background stuff happening that really fucks with you. So I'm having a rough time of it in Word. So that's two sectors of society: software engineers and technical authors who create templates that don't fucking work. How are you, mate?
Well, I'm okay because my wrist has already gotten a workout from all the bleeps that I've already hit, so it's great.
Is that the only workout your wrist gets, mate?
Actually, today I did what do you call them? I did wrist curls. So
yeah,
I was doing these today, and so I'm a little sore on the top of the wrist.
I really used to like that feeling. It's a bit masochistic. So when you're on the preacher bench and you're isolating and just doing the wrist, which brings up the forearm muscles and the full curls, and the next day you're walking around like something off Tracy Island because you can't bend your arms. No. I used to like that feeling. I enjoyed that. I haven't done that for quite some time.
Well, you should get back in the gym. I don't know what you're waiting on, but you know, maybe we need to bring Vince back so he can give you some work.
He's looking every day. He did put me in the gym every day, and because I was only in the army for a short time, so my full loyalty really lies with the Navy, and because he is an ex-soldier, I couldn't let my side down. So it was all, you know, inter-service banter and a ribaldry, but he did know how to work out. My workouts were up until then all calisthenic, you know, press ups, sit ups, squats, running, those kind of things. And in fact, even at sea, out in the Gulf, in the Caribbean, wherever, we used to have flight deck circuits, it was called, because each ship has a physical training instructor, and they would run a class every night. And I got to the point where if I had to miss one, I felt really, really grumpy. So, yeah, Vince definitely knows how to use all the machines in the gym. Prior to that, every time I used the machines in the gym, I just got a hot chocolate, a bag of crisps, and a Mars bar.
Don't forget the the ice cream breaks you used to take out in the UAE, and the Snickers. You used to love the Snickers out there. I remember that, yeah.
I used to have a bedtime Snickers.
Snickers.
A bedtime Snickers. I hate being hungry. I don't like it. I can't go to sleep if I'm hungry. So
I can't either, but a Snickers before bed, really?
Yeah, well, we were going to bed quite early in the evening, really. So because, you know, work starts early in the desert so that they can finish early before it gets too ridiculously hot.
Yeah.
So we used to start work at like 7 o'clock in the morning and then finish at 1, was really, really nice because it gave me plenty of time to get back to the villa, stick the air conditioning on, make a nice big pot of coffee, and then get the Xbox going.
Well, speaking of being on a flight deck, China says that they're building their fourth aircraft carrier. Do you have a considered and informed opinion about that? Since considering their third, quote, third aircraft carrier, we haven't actually seen in action yet. That would be the fake one that they built.
Why are they needing to announce it? Seriously.
Well, I don't know. I don't have any idea.
Well, you know, if you're confident in your own ability, you don't need to tell everybody about it. I suppose that makes me probably not confident in my own ability, but I do it for another reason. I wish throughout my younger days, when out drinking, having a good time, in social situations all over the world, I wish people knew that if they mess with me, I was going to, you know, make them sorry for it. Bees and wasps wear black and yellow stripes. There's snakes and other creatures in nature that display their offensive and defensive capability by their markings, whereas I just look like a four-eyed pushover, so people would start on me. So is China just making itself look a bit bigger and more scary than it actually is? You're nodding your head there, for the benefit of the listener.
Yes.
That's what I think's happening. That's my considered opinion, and you are welcome to it.
Let me see. What else did I have here? You wanted to talk about Haiti. You wanted to mention some things about Haiti. We were talking with Melissa the other day. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to announce that Bruce and I ran into some technical problems yesterday. We ended up putting out a prep session, which was a podcast in and of itself. That is for subscribers only. If you're interested in supporting the work that we do, if you like the content that you are hearing and you would like to hear that will be available to all subscribers. And the link will be in the program description down below.
Yeah, you and Melissa had a really interesting conversation, and I listened to it today, in fact, and I had to listen to it all because I wanted to make sure that you didn't actually, during the course of the podcast, remember the name of the voodoo-style religion practiced in the Caribbean, in Haiti, Cuba, and that is even down the east coast of the United States of America. The practice of Santeria was quite common. And it's basically religions from West Africa as brought over by slaves, disguised as Catholicism. So it would, on the surface, appear to be, the slaves are down there having a service and it all looks quite Catholic. But as soon as the slave masters weren't looking, all kinds of West African symbolism and gods and demons and other things were invoked. And this is kind of the basis of voodoo. So it's like if you have jiu-jitsu and you take all the throws out, you've got karate. If you take all the kicks and punches out, you've got judo. And it's the same with Santeria. If you take all of the Catholicism out, you've got voodoo. And this is, it was quite an interesting thing about Papa Doc, who was the leader, populist leader of Haiti from 1971 to 1986. I was in that region in 86 because we went round the world. I went round the world on HMS Manchester. And he fell into a diabetic coma while he was leader of Haiti. And he spent 9 days in a diabetic coma. And when he regained consciousness, he started to call himself Baron Samdi. And anyone who's heard or read anything about voodoo will know that that's like the top man, the top hat wearing scary zombie god out of voodoo.
You made me laugh there just for a second. You said 1986 when you were going through that part of the world. That was, and I don't know why this triggered in my head. I thought that sounds like it was right in the middle of Manuel Noriega's reign in Panama.
Yeah,
and it was. Yeah.
And we went through Panama. I still have these recurring nightmares where I'm on a ship, we're at sea, then all of a sudden we are skating on our hull through streets and I'm looking into people's houses and shops and things. And is the ship going to make it to the end? And I think that must have been me being a little bit nervous of getting our warship through Panama at that time. So, because, you know, in some places it's very, very close. So, but you can get aircraft carriers through Panama. So it's not such a big deal.
Well, for now, until the Chinese say we're not allowed.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah. While we're on the subject of voodoo and pagan religions, because you know, St. Patrick, we just had St. Patrick's Day a few days ago.
We did. Yeah.
You know, it was probably more celebrated, obviously celebrated in Ireland, but the East Coast of America tends to celebrate it a bit more because everyone thinks they're Irish on the East Coast.
Yes, if they have 1/16th of 1/8th of some relative that might have been Irish, then they're Irish, yeah.
To them it counts, but do you know the legend behind Patrick?
I do not. No, I don't.
Well, you must have heard that he chased the snakes out of Ireland.
That part I did hear, yes.
Mm. Of course, by snakes, that's a metaphor for the pagans. So all of the old religions, the Norse, the Druidical, Celtic religions, all the old Celtic gods. And they had some quite fun gods. I wanted to call my son Cucullin. And if any of you know anything about Irish spelling, it's never spelt quite the way you think it is. Take the name Siobhan, for instance, which is actually spelled S-I-B-H-O-A-N. Sibohan or something like that. So anyway, I wanted to call him Cucullin, which is one of the Celtic heroes, because it was such a bastard of a word to spell. It would help him with his English and his writing. But my wife wouldn't let me call him that, unfortunately. Anyway, so St. Patrick chased all of the heathens.
That's funny. She put her foot down and said, no, we're not naming our son that. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. We need to call these things out, or I feel I need to call these things out sometimes. For instance, the idea of cannibalism, all right, which you and Melissa were talking about, it's happened for the very reasons that she said. It's like taking power of your defeated enemies. To eat part of them takes on their power and their spirit, and it adds to yours. And Melissa used the word blood cult or
blood sacrifice or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. But then I got to thinking, I was brought up in the Church of England. We had in Catholicism, I think it's called the sacrament. In the Church of England, it's called the Eucharist. And that's where the main schism is between the two sects of Christianity, the main sects, is about the transubstantiation. Now, Catholics believe that once the priest has passed the blessing onto the wine and onto the bread, it actually becomes the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. So Christians are a cannibalistic blood sacrifice religion. In my humble opinion, everyone should believe in something. But when you over-mystify something, it loses everything. And I think that's what's happened with Christianity. It certainly happened with Islam. And I dare say Judaism is the same, in the same situation. All these monotheistic religions have some form of sacrifice in them. But what I'm trying to say is we need to be more understanding about weird and wonderful religions and not immediately critical just from the standpoint that, oh, no, we're Christian or we're Jews or we're Muslims. We don't do any of those sort of things. But you kind of do, you know, you kind of do those things. It's just dressed up differently, just in the same way that the religions from the west coast of Africa were dressed up with Catholicism. It's where they all originated. You know, these ideas of worshipping the sun, taking power by beating your enemy and drinking his blood. It's as old as man, and it has extended into the modern monotheistic religions.
And there's no sign that it's going to stop either, is it?
Well, no, because you know, everyone needs something. Or no, not everyone. I'll suck back on that. Most people need some form of system of morality to tell them what they should and shouldn't do. Some people, and I do include myself in this, although it's very difficult because I was brought up in the church, I know what's right and wrong just naturally. And it's got nothing to do with what something in a book written by another man or men and then messed about with so that it gives the divine right to certain sectors of society to rule over us, the divine right of kings, the subservience, the turning the other cheek, the meek and mild, all these repressing things that are there in all three books of Abrahamic religions. And it's a real shame Bruce isn't here tonight. And to be fair to him, I'm gonna wind it in there, because I can't just sit here and say all this without someone coming back at me.
Well, we can fix that. And this, I can talk to you about this offline. Ned wanted to do a full roundtable again. So I ran it past him. I don't know if we can do it either tomorrow or we can do it next week, depending on what your schedule is.
It's probably going to have to be next week. Okay. And don't forget, I'm going on holidays soon.
Yeah. We will set up a thing for you to do a short with us via phone to give us a report from down under.
Yeah.
So that will be taken care of. You and I will see to that before you set off. But we'll have that discussion that you're talking about, and Bruce will be in on it in a couple of weeks, or actually next week.
Yeah. It was just today. Obviously, I'm hoping our listeners, when they listen to you and Melissa talking, because it was a fascinating conversation, I was chomping at the bit because I wanted to be in that conversation. And, you know, it's really good. So that's kind of supplanted everything else I had on my mind today. And that's quite often the way. It's sort of learn and dump. And we're the same, aren't we? It's whatever the next disaster or chaos is that makes everybody forget all the things that have happened in the last 1,000 and how many days?
1,400 and what did I say? 7 or something like that. Or 70, yeah. Or whatever. It's, yeah, we're past, yeah, 1,400.
So there's been an awful lot of things, more than usual, have happened in those days. But the sensationalism of the next thing makes everybody forget all that. And then they just carry on.
Yeah. Sensationalism, I suppose. We'll get over to this sensational report.
Good segue.
It is a good segue. Yeah, sensational. I've got this macro. Actually, you know what? Do you want to talk about online censorship first? Do you want to go there? And then we'll talk about like Macron's wife and the story behind that. Thought we could get your thoughts on where Kate Middleton is. The Sun Papers put out this odd video. I have it. We can look at that and talk about it. I don't know what's going on with that. The Canada thing. Okay, so you probably heard Melissa and I talking about Canada and this law that's passed up there. It's actually passed as law. It's gone through Parliament and it is law. So somebody can report on you to the government if you are just suspected of offending them in any way. You know, this is like your snowflake safe space woke, you know, on steroids kind of thing. You face fines of up to, I believe it is 70,000 Canadian dollars, along with, I think 40 of that would have to go to the quote would be victim of that crime. And you face up to, no joke, life in prison because of it. It's almost laughable, isn't it, when you give a first response to it?
It's inconceivable. I sound like that little bloke out of The Princess Bride. It is absolutely inconceivable that a government should put such a law onto its statute books because, in actual fact, politicians who make their living from speaking tend to offend at least 40% of a population every time they open their mouth. And, you know, for the benefit of the listener, Johnny's showing me the photograph of Justin Castro Trudeau with all of the people from Pride Week in various states of undress, strange colours, makeup, different colours, hair, and some nudity. Oh, and one is kneeling there in a black biker vest with a dog collar on. So that should offend every religious person on the planet, every Christian anyway. Yeah, politicians offend people all the time. So I'm wondering if a politician might not be the first person to fall foul of this new law. And maybe Trudeau is aiming it at Poilievre, who, without a doubt, will completely rescind and strip from the law books this ridiculous overstep of the current government. So, yeah, it's mad, and we have to be very vigilant as our governments try to push the same sort of thing through.
You say that politicians offend people all the time. Well, yeah, they do. You'd mentioned this a few weeks back, and I thought we could go over it now. How much will your council tax go up? There's an interactive map that's been released, and they say that the rates will be imposed across England, as many households will be hit by almost a 5% rate hike.
Yeah, we got the letter through the door just the other day. My property council tax has gone up by, I'm going to say, £500 in the last 6 years. So in the last 6 years, it has increased year on year. And now, of course, with local councils being cash strapped and, you know, going bankrupt and so on, they, of course, are going to not wait for central government to up their budgets. They are going to garner as much as they can from, you know, their ratepayers, the people within the counties and the areas covered by each of the councils.
I see that in your area, it's gone up by £92 this year, as in, like, that's the level of increase as it's gone up. Birmingham has gone up almost £200 this year.
Well, Birmingham is on the bones of its arse, isn't it, in terms of the council?
Yeah, that's one of the councils that was in trouble. I think one of the first ones.
It was indeed one of the first ones. But Birmingham is the UK's second largest city. So if they've upped, I think there's something like 6 million people in Birmingham.
That's a lot of people. I didn't know it was that high.
Yeah. So if you, let's say you divide that by four and come out with 1.5 million people who are paying the council tax, as a rough estimate, there's lots of people who live on their own as well.
Yeah.
So just to even it out, it's gone up by £200. So you're looking at 200 million extra in revenue by doing that.
But to run
the city,
they'll bankrupt it anyway. So
they'll spend it anyway.
Yeah.
They'll give themselves huge pay rises, and But again, Birmingham is a very diverse city. It's got a big black and Asian population, as well as a few white people left in Birmingham as it is. So the council will have been investing in a lot of these minority advantaging projects. But on top of that, of course, they had to deal with COVID. And the more people you've got, the more testing stations you need to provide, the more damage that was done by the lockdowns in terms of commerce. So business rates, which were being charged, couldn't be charged, or were waylaid, deferred. But a lot of these businesses went out of business. And so the money that the council was expecting, it won't get. So the small and medium-sized businesses that went bust as a result of COVID and lockdown and so on have also had an impact on large city councils' income and revenue.
Yeah, and I expect that will actually get even worse. And because we're just now starting to see the even further bankruptcies from businesses and things like that from COVID because of that shutdown. So these overnight loans that they took, and the ones that where they said, oh, we're going to give you this to help you out. No, that was just a long-term plan to put you in hawk. And now that's coming home to roost.
Yeah. I mean, I've got my own bank is desperately trying to throw money at me.
Well, they're full of cash. That's why.
Yeah, yeah.
All the banks are flush with cash at the moment. Oh, by the way, did you hear us talking about the end of the overnight loans in the U.S.?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's so, it's just gangster-like, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So people take the loan, do whatever they have to do. Those overnight loans, were they secured against property? Did they have assurances?
No.
So they're an unsecured loan.
Yeah.
It was just the individual.
Yes. Well, it was just as simple as saying from the person that took the note or from the bank. Which one are you asking?
So the person that took the money, well, the person who, the recipient of the loan.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Did they have to put up property?
No.
So
no collateral.
Can the bank?
No.
So there's no collateral.
The banks. No. That was the point. Is the banks actually didn't have the money to lend out in the first place. This is the same problem we had leading up to 08, if you recall.
Yeah.
So the banks should not have been able to lend out this money because they don't have it. If the banks don't have this money, the banks are supposed to have, this is the point of the bank, is they're supposed to have the money and assets to cover what they lend out to people. If the banks don't have that in assets, then they have no business lending out that money because they don't have it. Well, if they don't have it, yeah, go on.
There was something said a little while back, and it may have been a couple of years ago now, where all of a sudden the banks were given permission to lend out an enormous amount of money.
Yes, because they removed that measure that would prevent that business from being able to, that would prevent that bank from being able to do that. So we took our safety measures off and we put our foot down on the accelerator and it's been stuck there.
But this is the dirtiest way of laundering money, because what happens is, as we saw in 2008 with the bailout of the banks that went bust, is that they had on their books X amount of debt owing to them from the public, but they couldn't honor their debt to the central bank. And so they were bailed out with public money from certainly my government. I'm assuming the US government did something similar.
Yep.
So it's just a way of transferring huge sums out of public pockets and into private financial organizations.
Well, it's a good scheme if you think about it from their perspective. They're literally creating all of this out of nothing in a giant scheme to get you to sign on to it. And when it all goes wrong, they're going to leave you holding the bag. They're going to be like the con man, you know, the flim flam man that's dragging the suitcase full of money away at the train station, you know, cash is falling out of the end of it. And you're the one stuck with the bad product or the bad investment.
And of course, you'll never get to borrow anything again.
No, they'll freeze credit. I think we're on the verge of a giant credit freeze, I believe, because of this.
So I would say, if the people that they've lent money to that shouldn't really have been lent the money can't pay them back, well, bad luck the banks. But the bank always wins. Yeah. The house always wins.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be allowed to create this kind of debt in the first place. So that chain never should have been started. The Fed should not be allowed, the central bank should not be allowed to expand its balance sheets and say, we're going to
look at the geriatric nut job you've got in charge in America. What is her name? Barbara what?
Betty White is what you call it.
Janet
Yellen, yeah.
Right. So you've got loons like that in charge of a massive.
She's not in charge
countries.
Of countries.
Well, she's saying
Christine Lagarde is actually making decisions in the EU. She's not.
Well, yeah. So, okay. She's the fall person ready to take the blame all goes hap skywards again. And we've got the same kind of idiots here. A little while ago, just when things were getting good, we had, I don't know, was he a Canadian or American that was the chief executive of the Bank of England?
I can't remember who that was.
Because he was doing, on the face of it, a really good job. Our national debt was coming down. Interest rates were kept at an all-time low. So it made no sense. Well, it made no sense to save because you'd wind up losing money kind of on your savings because you'd still get charged for the account and the charges were more than any interest you'd make. But on the face of it, he did a good job and the UK national debt was dropping and dropping and dropping. And then the next thing you know, we've got all of this COVID bollocks and we've been hammered again. So we're in as much debt, well, more debt than we were 10 years ago.
Yeah. Speaking of an American in the UK, did you guys know that you had a visitor to number 10 the other day?
Yeah. What the f*** was he doing there?
I don't know.
why he's not a serving politician. Why? Why is Barack Obama going into number 10? He should have not been allowed to set foot in number 10. As far as I'm concerned, he's an enemy of my state.
He's an enemy of mine too.
Well, yeah, I did know that he'd been, but I don't know why. I understand it's possibly something to do with talking about the work of the foundations, the Obama's foundation.
There's that. And there's also his radical Marxist connections from back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like you don't play it again. That's the third time you made me watch it now.
Yeah. Sorry.
I don't like it.
I don't know why he's even there. That's the thing. The only reason that he would be there. I can't even think of a reason why he would be there, other than the fact that that's the one that's actually calling the shots behind the old man sitting in the Oval Office. That's the only reason I could think is why he would be there. You know, most U.S. presidents, I'll just say this, most U.S. presidents, well, actually every U.S. president, I'll just go this way with it, because I've never seen or read about one, and perhaps you have, I don't know. What U.S. president, after they've served their time, whether that's one term or two terms, or in the case of FDR 4, who died in office, U.S. president has ever not left? As in, you see them, they just sail off into the sunset, they'll do some charity work here and there, and they just disappear, they leave D.C. and they never come back. This guy bought a house two blocks away from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, moved in there, and he's been doing visits like this ever since. I've never seen another U.S. president do that, Democrat or Republican.
No, I mean, statistically, you know, lies, damn lies and statistics, being American president is the most dangerous job in the world. The number of presidents you've had since 1776 is how many?
We're on 46.
46. How many of those have been assassinated?
Less than six.
Is it less than six?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. How many attempted assassinations?
Well, we're passing more than six on that one. So.
Yeah, we are, aren't we? So, statistically speaking, it's a very dangerous job, and the urge and the ability to carry out an assassination on a president, I think, in my humble opinion, is being driven in most cases from that deep state that are really pulling the strings. So, is he still part of that cabal? Yes, of course he is. He definitely is. He was the first black president, so that's going to inflate his ego. That's going to I bet you he did not want to let go of the reins. He really did not want to let go.
You saw it on the inauguration day of Trump. You could just see he was just sitting there seething.
He didn't want to let go, particularly not to Trump, because that was one of the surprises, just the same as Brexit was a surprise, that triggered the whole COVID thing a bit earlier than they intended. I think that's what we've sort of, between us on the podcast, that's what we've surmised all along. Yeah, thing is, 70% of communication, about 70% of ways of telling if someone's telling the truth, if they feel good about what they're talking about, is nonverbal. It's your body language, it's your expression, it's your demeanor, you know, the color of your pallor. Yeah. Are you flushed, red, and angry? You can't tell over the phone, but you can tell if you're face to face with someone. So maybe he's just come to see for the deep state how the British government and the puppets that we've got in it at the moment are actually feeling about the whole situation.
Maybe. That is possible. Speaking of flushed in the face and having an expression of just, oh, I don't know, how you feeling kind of anger thing. Here's Macron. Yeah, working that heavy bag. What do you think? This comes after a report that's been circulating about his wife being a transgender individual. And so in order to look macho, he's done he's been working a heavy bag there.
He's got some good guns on him.
He does look a little fit. Yeah, I have to give
him
that.
A wiry little Frenchman. Well, if his wife is transgender.
Have you seen the Napoleon memes of him out there? Have you seen him circulating on social media because of his Ukraine? You haven't seen that yet? He's in the Napoleon garb. You know, looks like Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yeah. But, good. He certainly looks more effective working that bag than that prick Starmer. But, you know, just looking at those stills, I can smell the sweat, garlic and goulwar that must be coming out of every pore. But yeah, like if his wife is transgender, he'll need to keep fit because he won't want to be pushed around in the bedroom, will he?
No, I can't say that he would. All right, so I had to get the Macron thing. I had to get that out of the way. Let me see, what else do I have? Is it too early to get to your surprise yet?
I think
it is. I don't want to get to that. I tell you what, I'll show you this first, right? Because this was what you were referencing. This is Starmer working that bag there.
That's just embarrassing.
It's just terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. Vote Labour.
On the gloves. Yeah.
No.
Do you want to talk about some crazy Russian deaths? I know we talked about Russian windows the last time. I've got some Russian crypto deaths you might find interesting because we were talking about
crypto deaths.
Crypto deaths. Yes. So Russian crypto, cryptocurrencies. Like these are.
All right. Were they defenestrations like the other ones or not?
Well, they were under mysterious circumstances, all of them.
Okay, but they didn't involve windows, balconies, and a sharp drop.
Well, some of them did, but in other manners. They've gotten a little creative in some of these.
So the FSB have changed their modus operandi.
they've changed a little bit. It's like the guy that we talked about, the latest one, the Russian, the Siberian oil tycoon business, son of oil tycoon business guy whatever. Who was a high-ranking member in Putin's party before the election, fell out of a three-story window, and they found him on the front lawn of his house, according to the FSB, but they didn't say whether or not that was the window he fell out of. And then they said, well, he could have had, not that he did, but he could have had a bad heart. So
I think it's all part of Russian tradition, the way in which someone dies or the many methods employed to get someone in the grave. Take Rasputin, for instance. He was poisoned, shot, and then drowned, I believe.
I think he was stabbed, too, in there somewhere.
There was probably a stabbing in there somewhere. I think that's what they're aspiring to. They're aspiring to go out in as much of a blaze of glory and die hardness as Rasputin.
Well, this one here, this is entrepreneur... Vyacheslav Taran, he was 53 years old. This has been a while back, but I found these, you know, because we go back and we look for some of these. He was 53 years old. He died after a helicopter plunged near the resort in the town of he was taking off from Lausanne, Switzerland. He was on his way back to Monte Carlo. This is him and his lovely wife, Olga, as you can see there. He was a crypto millionaire. He had a few hundred million in cryptocurrencies. And they're... Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just strange. And you know what? One of the passengers that was on that plane, or excuse me, on that helicopter, they just happened to cancel right before that flight took off. So they didn't give a reason as to why.
I used to have to get into helicopters as part of my job, and I used to have to sometimes jump out of them before they'd landed. I would make this recommendation to anyone who's listening. Stay clear of helicopters. They're not the safest.
Well, don't get in. And more than that, I'll give you another top tip on that. Stay out of helicopters that have Russian passengers.
Yeah. Yeah. There's another big red flag. No pun intended.
Tian Colander was 30 years old, died in his sleep last week. Nikolai Mashugin, 28 years old, drowned on a Puerto Rican beach after tweeting that the CIA and Mossad were going to kill him.
That. Yeah, right.
See. Yeah,
come
yeah,
there. You will now tweet that the CIA and Mossad will kill you, and then we will kill you, FSB. Yeah.
Victor Sharesikov.
Hang on. The bloke before him, did you say his name was Cullender?
I believe so, yeah. It was K-U-L-L-E-N-D-R.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that was another pun.
Victor Sharesikov, 72 years old. Now, this one could kind of make sense. A close KGB spy and mentor of Vladimir Putin, who was demoted after publicly criticizing the Kremlin. He died from an unexplained serious disease, quote, serious disease, according to lead
poisoning.
Lead poisoning, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Another one, Ivan Pechorin, 39 years old, director of the Far East and Arctic Development Corporation, who fell overboard from his yacht in September. You just fall off of a yacht.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of inter-Sinai squabbles going on here as well. Within the various departments of the corrupt Russian government and hierarchy, I think it's kind of open season. As long as you don't touch Vladimir, if you can take your nearest competitor out, it's open season. Some of these people are just they haven't got the they haven't got the field craft skills necessary to survive. So it's kind of like a survival of the fittest in a very Russian Darwinian way.
That's kind of how things work over there. Pavel put Chelennikov, 52 years old, a public relations manager for Russian Railways, was shot dead in his Moscow apartment in September. And then you have...
hang on. There's no inventiveness there at all. They just shot him.
No. Well, there was no inventiveness in this next one either. Alexander Tyulikov, 61 years old, a senior Gazprom, which is their biggest oil company, and then Luck Oil, that CEO was found murdered. He was the one that fell out of his second story window somewhere. The senior Gazprom executive was found hanged at his house, also in Moscow.
I'm just, so glad that I wasn't born Russian.
Bruce and I had another theory. Working thing that I've got going on, these studies and research that I'm doing into, how they faked the collapse of the Soviet Union. Well, we talked about this yesterday on the subscriber exclusive. And if you have the Russian, or I don't know, I can't remember if we actually caught this on the recording or not. But if you have this case that's actually, if we're to believe that they engineered the collapse of the Soviet Union and they faked all of this in order to move everything underground, they had to do something with the money. So the KGB, which we know now as the FSB, they created the oligarchy, Roman Abramovich and these guys, they created these guys. They made them sign agreements with them to say, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to front all these legitimate businesses and all of the corporations that we create, all the shell corporations are all going to go through you. And if you don't play ball, then we're going to kill you and your families. That was the deal. Now, if you have this situation we're faced with now, where you've got a resurgent Russia coming back to reassemble the old Soviet Union, if you have people that are within this society, this corrupt system that's been created, this mafia-like state, if you have this where buying off people is everything, if they have bought off people they thought that they could buy off, now you've got centralization and secular rule coming back, all of that wealth is going to have to come back, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you've probably got people that are bucking that system. That's my guess.
It was kind of like... I imagine if that is what happened, then the oligarchs would have gone, all right, it's never going back to the old ways. We'll create our own dynasties off our heirs and successors. We'll be fabulously wealthy as well. But here's what we need to do first, because that's what Abramovich did. Order an ocean-going super yacht that's big enough to take himself and all of his family under an assumed name, in a non-communist country, to be built in a non-communist country, and then just sail from one NATO country to another NATO country for the rest of my days, with myself and all the ones I care about.
And try not to protected. Fall off.
Yeah, and try not to fall off, which I think is what happened to Maxwell.
Yes, and who was Maxwell? Who was Robert Maxwell? He was from Czechoslovakia, wasn't he?
Yes, right. That's correct. Yeah.
All right. On to your surprise, and then we'll end a little bit a few minutes early here. Yes. We talked earlier about the censorship thing that's going on in Canada with, you offend somebody, then you could go to jail, be fined $70,000, perhaps jailed for life, right? Well,
yeah.
Marty, you spend a lot of...
Are you about to say I spent a lot of time in jail?
No. Let's clear my throat. You have spent a lot of time on Twitter. Yeah, you like the platform since it's been taken over by Elon Musk. You like it?
Not really. I'm less and less inclined to respond to anything.
Really?
Because it does drain you when you get into a twatter spat with idiots. And doesn't matter what you're saying or how nicely you're saying it or how you're trying to explain or even just ask a question, you wind up with morons just trying to score points. And so, no, I'm not all that keen on Twitter. I do use Fastbook, but that's mainly to stay in touch with my extended family and friends who don't live locally. So, yeah, come on. Okay. What have you got for me?
Well, I thought that maybe, if, you know, you run into all these problems of dealing with those difficult people on Twitter. Do you think we should just, I don't know, grab a hold of it and just shut it down?
Well, I'll tell you what, before you
give your explanation as to why that is, let's hear what Jeremy Vine had to say about it.
Them both. And it's no accident that we're seeing out in Windsor at the weekend. They wanted that to happen because that's their way of saying she's getting better. She's out and about.
Yeah.
But the conspiracy theorists won't even have that. That's not her.
But Jenny, is there any argument to say, this will sound crazy, but China does it. We've got to now take control of Twitter and shut it down for the time being.
I don't think we should take control of Twitter and shut it down. I do think we should perhaps ask the social media companies to stop promoting these conspiracy theories.
Let's just, China does it. Let's just take control of Twitter and just shut it down.
Well, first of all, I had other reasons for not shutting it down. But the moment that Jeremy, what a twat I am, Vine, said to shut it down, I'm definitely on the side of keep it running. And it's I've nearly in recent weeks, people who didn't mean to irritate me that deeply have, by going, oh yeah, this is Martin, it's really funny, he's a conspiracy theorist. This guy who said it last, he would have shit his pants if I'd have just gone boo to him. So I didn't get upset with him. Externally, I was fuming inside, but I did point out to him that anything I'm talking about is based in fact and not theory. And if I ask questions, it doesn't make me a conspiracy theorist. It makes me someone with a healthy level of cynicism. So vacuous bints like herself there says things like the conspiracy theorists will still say this or still say that. It is their right. It is their inalienable right to have freedom of speech and to question what they are being shown, particularly as we know that images, even moving images, video, can be manipulated in so many ways.
Yes. And this is what she was referencing. And I thought we'd touch on this, too. This is the Kate Middleton and William at the farm shop. So this is what was released by the Sun papers. And they say that this was authentic. And anybody that doesn't believe this, then you're a conspiracy theorist. And I mean, to me, it doesn't look like her, just to me.
It's too distorted to say, because it's being filmed through a vehicle window for a start. So you've got, instead of having, and no, that doesn't look like her.
It doesn't, not at all. They're saying that they're both body doubles. That kind of looks like William, but that's definitely not her.
Yeah, but look, he's got that baseball cap with the peak rolled over his eyes, and that doesn't look like her. It could be, but then again, it might not be. When I was ill a while back, and I've still got the photographs, and I looked at my face, I was in hospital and I took a selfie to send to the missus and I looked bloody awful. I did not look like myself. Sometimes illness can change the way your face looks. There's certain things about it that facial recognition technology will always pick up on because those things never change. But the amount of, you know, fat, the tissue, health, the colour of your skin, how thin your lips might have gone, that can all change. So she has been ill, and it could be her, but I don't think it is. And that's the first time I've seen that. I don't pay much attention to the Sun, as you know.
No, of course not. No, unless you're reading page six, I think.
Page six. Is it page six?
Well, there's a lot of interesting material on page six, I think.
No, it's page three, mate.
Is it page three? Okay. Well, anyway. All right. So, that shows you how much I read the Sun papers, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Reads the Sun papers?
Well, I grew up with it, but then when they decided that your average working class man isn't entitled to see some young lady's naked chest with his news, with his heavily watered down propaganda, right wing with The Sun, obviously, and left wing with The Daily Mirror. But both newspapers had semi-naked girls in them. And then the next thing to come out was The Daily Star. That was the next tabloid.
The
Daily Star, which was for absolute, well, morons, really, because that had more boobs and bums in it than it had any kind of lines of actual journalism. And then even better than that came out The Daily Sport.
I don't know this one.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty much just like a soft porn mag. And the stories were...
Explains why I don't know it.
Absolute salacious. No, it was sold as a tabloid. It tried to be a serious newspaper, but its stories were just salacious nonsense. So, yeah, anything out of The Sun, The Mirror, The Daily Star, or The Sport has never actually been worth paying any attention to.
Well, I guess the mystery will continue as to where she is. You know, the conspiracy theorists will continue to swirl online, or conspiracy theories.
Perhaps she's just had enough. Perhaps she's just had enough. It's like...
And if Charlie goes, I was saying this the other day, if Charlie goes, she's de facto the Queen of England, right?
Yeah. And it, you know, maybe she just needs a rest, because I would not, you know, even with all the wealth and the never having to worry about where your next meal or paying your heating bills or anything like that, I would not want to be anything to do with that family ever.
No.
Same as I wouldn't want to be born Russian. I wouldn't want to be born as an Emirati or a Saudi. I love being British, but there's certain things you, even though it's supposedly enviable, you just would not want your life to be that way. So perhaps she's just had enough and she just wants to have a bit of a break. Who knows? Maybe the full story has been revealed to her, and she's getting used to the idea. I'm wondering if Melinda Gates might also have stepped back from him and divorced him because she suddenly realised what a sociopath, psychopath, lunatic she'd wound up being in bed with.
Could be, yeah. It's hard to say. But I do think that you say you're glad you weren't born Russian. Well, you know, maybe could be missing a big business opportunity here, Marty. I hear Russian window businesses are quite profitable. So maybe
safety rails.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, they don't have any of those, yeah.
I'm going to invent a window that as soon as you open it to walk out onto your balcony, it immediately automatically attaches a safety harness with a carabiner to you, so that if you do fall with some kind of friction descender, you're just gently lowered to the ground.
Yeah, I don't think they have health and safety regulations over there when there's new construction as they do in the UK or the US.
Yeah, there's some great videos of Russian engineering, but both civil, industrial, and mechanical on YouTube and other streaming sources. But I really would not want to be Russian.
All right, we will see you next week, yes?
Yes, you will, yeah.
Very good. And we'll see you a couple days next week, because we'll be doing the roundtable next week with a full table. So
yeah, and
looking forward to that.
As I say, the main reason I want that to be, you know, of as many of us as possible, is because I'm spouting my opinion there, and I want people to come back at me with how I'm wrong. You know, if I'm wrong about religion, tell me how I'm wrong, and perhaps we can talk about that. So, yeah, that'll be good.
Fair enough. All right, that will do it for us for today and for this week. It's been an absolute pleasure, my friend. I'll see you next week. Thank you for being here today. Thank you to all of the listeners. God bless everyone, and have a great evening.